This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're going to spend the rest of the show today inside the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. A few weeks ago, I got a tour of a temporary exhibition there called Noir, the French word for black. The exhibit is meant to celebrate black lives through art. It's a collaboration between the museum and the Springfield organization Juneteenth, Inc. Juneteenth, of course, is the day commemorating the end of slavery in the U.S., and it just happened last weekend. As ever, let us know what you thought of our conversation. Talk at 21stshow.org. Let's go now to the Illinois State Museum and meet our guides for this exhibit and conversation.
Hi, Brian. Good to see
you.
Bob Sill, and I'm the Director of Collections and Research for the Illinois State Museum. And this is one of the curators here.
My name is Michelle Smith. I am a visual pencil and pen artist. I am one of the curators, so I am the co-curator of Noir.
And I should say we're all wearing masks owing to pandemic safety protocols, so if we sound a little muffled, that's what's happening here. How did this come about?
So ironically, I'm doing my own show in July, and I was looking for a venue, and a friend of mine recommended the museum. And she contacted the museum, and that didn't really work out, but she put me in contact with Bob here, who said, hey, we're doing something with Juneteenth, Inc., and we might need a guest curator. Would you sit in on the meeting? And so I did, and I was 100% behind what they were doing and thought I would volunteer to try curating, because I'd never done that before for anything other than my own shows.
Yeah, we started collaborating with Juneteenth, Inc., and so it really was about two exhibition things that we were going to do.
What does being a guest curator mean? What work are you doing to bring an exhibition like this together?
That's so funny you asked that, because I really didn't know for sure what I was going to be doing when I volunteered to do this. And I was excited when they told me I'd have a co-curator. So that was someone who could help. And he's been awesome and a tremendous help. So basically what we did was we put the feelers out to find artists and asked them to submit up to three pieces of work for us to review, in the hopes that we would get some museum quality work to show in this exhibit. And I think, as you can see, we've got some really excellent work. We had a pool of roughly 30 artists who applied, and from that we selected 33 pieces of works.
22 artists, is that right?
There are 20 artists total in the exhibit, including Kaz and myself. We each have one piece in there. So from those 20 artists, there are 33 total pieces of works.
And it's painting, it's photography, there's textile. Where should we start? Can you pick a piece to start with, and maybe we can talk about it and describe it for our listeners?
That's so hard. I love every piece, but let's start with this piece here. It's called Mansa Musa, and it's by Austin Wells, who is local here in Springfield, and he teaches at Riverton. Teaches art, and this piece, I think, has literally touched everyone who has seen it. When we first saw it, we knew it had to be in the show. What we didn't realize when we were putting the show together until Wednesday, when we actually started hanging pieces, was that there is almost a timeline here, and this is like the epic first. This is the start. This is where everything starts with the royalty and majesty that Africa had. And then we kind of move along. As you can see, it kind of tells a story of then we're all the way up to today, where we are today.
Can you just describe what listeners could see if they were here?
This piece is awesome. It's actually spray paint on cardboard. And so there was a lesson there too. He actually used this, and his students were able to follow along the whole process with this with him. And so it has these bright, exuberant colors. Royal colors. There's a king who is riding in on his horse, who is decked out in armor, and then the camel with the gold and jeweled bags on its back. It's just a spectacular piece, and it's about roughly 4 foot by 6 foot.
It's huge. Yeah, it's a large piece. It you can see the corrugation of the cardboard. That's remarkable. Yeah. Did the artist say why cardboard? It's not a usually think canvas, right, for a painting.
Right. So what he was really trying to get a point to his students, and he says he does it quite often actually, is that you can create with just about anything. And so with the availability of what is there, what resources do you have, and what can you do with them? And so cardboard is a cheap resource. We don't normally think of fine art being done on something like that, but as you can see, he proved us wrong with that.
So maybe we can move down the line a little bit here. I was struck earlier looking at the thickness of the paint on this one. I don't know if you can talk about this.
So this piece is from an artist, Marquise Terrell, who is in the St. Louis area, and it's called Breaking Free. This piece is acrylic and oil paint together, and we're still flabbergasted. I personally have not been able to meet Marquise yet, so my first question is, how exactly does he get that to look like it looks? But it's absolutely gorgeous. It looks three-dimensional, but it is a 2D piece. And he just built up what looks like layers and layers of oil and acrylic and then cut them out to look like chipped away.
And you can see a man with sort of a shackle around his wrist. He's grabbing the chain with his other hand where there's scars on the wrist where the shackle had been.
And breaking free.
Breaking free, literally, yeah. Yep. And looks like the painting is breaking.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Maybe we can just move on down the line here then. Take it where you will.
So Obi Solstar is an awesome artist, photographer, out of the Chicago area. My co-curator absolutely loved this piece for the detail, myself included, but as you can see, it has a little bit of everything past that was negative. So we have the noose around the neck, the scar marks from the whippings, the bullet holes in the back and the cuffs that are more of the modern day slavery that he was trying to convey to the viewer. It's a very emotional piece, I think, for a lot of people that will see it. It's just a very deep, detailed piece, almost 3D again.
And you can see blood coming out of bullet holes.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to read what's written on there?
Sure. So the text that's painted on underneath the man that is cuffed and hanging is, first your chains, then your whips, then your words, then your ropes, now your chokes, now your knee, now your bullets. So as you can see, it kind of starts from what was used way back when and all the way up to today.
You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're hearing a conversation I recorded late last month on location at the Illinois State Museum. It's about the temporary art exhibit Noir, which is a collaboration with Juneteenth, Inc. I'm speaking with Michelle Smith, guest co-curator of the exhibit, and Bob Sill, director of collections and research at the State Museum. And a note, if it sounds a little muffled, we were wearing masks for our conversation.
So maybe we can just take a step back and consider the question of art in the Black experience in America. That's a big topic, I know, but maybe where would you start in putting the importance of art in Black self-expression and Black freedom over the decades, centuries?
Oh, wow. Well, art in general, I think, is important. It's a part of keeping track. It's history, no matter what the culture is. So I think that applies to everyone. I think that all artists paint and create, and for me, I draw based on what they're feeling and what's going on in the current time and events. And so that's what makes it history. That's what makes this so interesting, is that these artists independently selected and chose what pieces they wanted to put in the show. We gave them a criteria we wanted to celebrate Black culture, past, present, and future. When they submitted, they had no idea what the other artists were submitted. They had no idea if they'd be selected or who else would be selected. So the fact that these pieces have come in and they all tell this story together collectively, I think kind of says there's a lot on our minds and it's all pretty similar.
Yeah, I think the role of art has always been that it has this capacity to talk about so many different issues and to touch us in our soul, to touch us in our heart, to make us think, to make us wonder, to make us see beauty, to make us see those difficult things throughout history. I mean, art history has, going all the way back, that it has that capacity for the spectrum between terror and horror and the contemplative, meditative, and beautiful. And I think this show has that spectrum.
I think listeners, people are always curious about an artist's process. right? And you said earlier, we have a lot on our mind. Mm-hmm. When you start a piece of art, is it a message you want to convey, or is it the art and you find the message as you're creating it?
I don't think I intentionally think of the message so much when I start a piece. What I'm drawing is generally what moves me and what I'm feeling at the time. And if that comes out successfully, then I think the message is there. What I like to say is that I have a story, but my viewers also have a story. If they can find their story within my story, that's kind of where the human quality of art comes together, the humanity of it all. We all have a story to tell. It's not always the same story, but usually it's pretty similar. And I think art pulls that together very nicely.
And can we talk about you have a piece here?
I do.
Maybe we can go that way.
So this is my piece right here on the end. The title is I Pledge Allegiance. And
maybe we can just describe it. It's a child, natural hair, wearing an American flag wrapped around.
Exactly. So it's a little boy with his kinky, curly, natural hair. And he has the American flag caped around him. And when I did this piece, you can see he's kind of somber. When I was thinking of this, I was thinking of a lot of things. I was thinking of doing a piece for this exhibit. And I think of the importance of the American flag, and I think it holds importance to all of us here in this country. But when I really thought about how much importance is put on the flag versus how much importance is put on human life lately. And so here's this little boy, and I remember every day learning and reciting the Pledge of Allegiance before class would start, from kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade. And there's that part of me that wonders, the creators of the Pledge of Allegiance, when that was written, there was a certain part of those promises and that pledge that may not have really been intended for people like me. But yet here we were. We were pledging our allegiance to that. And I think that we still have that allegiance. We love this country. We just don't particularly care for some of the things that are going on right now.
What do you hope people who come and see this will take away from it?
We're hoping that people leave here feeling like they had an experience, that they didn't just come view art, so to speak. The art, I think, is beautiful in and of itself, but I think a lot of these pieces are powerful enough that what we wanted was for people to be able to understand that the portraiture, the pieces, and the people that you see in these pieces are indeed people, that they have feelings and emotions like anyone else. And we wanted people to experience that, that has joys, it has highs, it has lows, it has, like Bob said, some of the negative kind of harsh things that are going on in life, but then it has some of the very beautiful, creative and relaxing things that are going on. And we want people to feel every bit of that. We want them to come in and say, wow, I never really thought about that in that way.
I hope they leave inspired to have conversation and to connect with the artwork and what the artwork is saying, and see the variety of life that we live here in this community, because most of these artists are from this community. There are some from afar, but in the talent, just the amazing talent that we have on display.
Where does the title come from, Noir? Maybe you can just talk about, it seems like there's multiple layers that could be taken from that.
There actually are multiple layers, I think, that could be taken from that, but on the surface, it really is as simply put as it is. My co-curator, Cass King, is actually the one who came up with the title for the show, Noir, and the thought behind it was it's one word that packs a powerful punch. It's pretty simple and straight to the point, which is where we want it to be with this. We want it to hit people with this. It's the French word for black, so it doesn't really get any simpler than that. And the French played a kind of a significant role, especially if you read the history out on the porch, you'll see that. They played a significant role in the adoption and beginning of slavery. And so there are multiple layers there, but on the surface, it really is what it is, just a simple, straightforward connection, the word with the art.
Thank you so much for taking us around the exhibit today.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for coming.
Michelle Smith is the guest curator of Noir, along with Corbin Cass King. We also spoke with Bob Sill, director of collections and research at the Illinois State Museum. You can see some of the art we've been talking about on our website, 21stshow.org, and you can see all of it in person, plus two related exhibits at the State Museum in Springfield through July 6th. That's it for us today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.